All right, thank you for being here tonight. Just a reminder, our service schedule tomorrow, no Sunday school. Our regular service will be at 10 o'clock. We are coming to the end of 2022. It just seems like you start a year, and next thing you know, it's over, and you're starting another year, but that's a good thing. You can get a fresh start if you need one, and maybe if you don't need one, maybe there's areas in your life you would like to shore up or be a little bit better in. You have an opportunity to get that started, and so I hope you take advantage of that. Tonight, we will be taking the Lord's Supper, and the message will be very, very, very brief, but it ties into the Lord's Supper. We will reflect, of course, when we take the Lord's Supper, we'll reflect upon why we're taking it, and there's specific reasons why we do take the Lord's Supper. In the Old Testament, God had a way for his people to accomplish really the same purposes that we take the Lord's Supper for. And he had a yearly calendar, and on his calendar there were several feasts and festivals that he wanted them to keep, same time every year. It would help them to reflect on who they were and to encourage them to review all that had been done for them, whether it's short-term or long-term. They followed this calendar. They would have these times throughout the year where they would stop and they would find cause for great celebration. As they followed the calendar, they would celebrate because of God's mercies to their ancestors. That's one thing God never wanted them to forget, what he had done for them in the past. There were seven great feasts or celebrations they were to observe. We know some of them. You may not know all of them. Of course, there's the Passover. That remembers the last plague in Egypt where God killed all of the firstborn except for the children of Israel if they put the blood on the doorpost and the death angel passed over them. Of course, we know that that's applied to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for us. There was also the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was a seven-day feast that began on the day following the start of the Passover. Of course, unleavened bread represents the sin, a lack of sin or the sinless life of Jesus Christ. There was the Feast of First Fruits. It's one of the three feasts that they had to thank and honor God for all that he would provide for them through the harvesting and the work of their hands and so forth. And then, of course, there's the Feast of Pentecost. That's the second of the three feasts that were directed towards harvest. Then there was a Feast of Trumpets. God had commanded his people to rest, and during this time, they would not work, and the men and women would present a food offering to God. Then, of course, there was the Day of Atonement. That's where they made atonement or restitution for their sins to God through the sacrifices. And then the Feast of Tabernacle of Booths, where they would celebrate God's provision and protection for them during their 40 years of wandering. And for that time, they would live in temporary booths that they would live so that they would remember what they went through during those years in the wilderness. The point of these feasts or these celebrations are the fact that they had meaning. They had purpose. New Year's Eve has a meaning. It's the end of the year, but for most people, it has no purpose. It's just an excuse to go out and party and overdrink and do a bunch of wicked and lewd things, to be real honest with you, if they don't know the Lord. But the Lord's Supper has meaning and purpose as well. Our holidays, some of them, have meaning. The 4th of July, our independence. Memorial Day, those who suffered and died, sacrificed for the freedoms we have in this country. Veterans Day, those who have served in our country. Thanksgiving, a time when we are thankful for God's provisions in our life. And Christmas, a time when we think about Jesus Christ, God with us. As a jumping point here for what I want to see, this particular chapter talks about three of those feasts and celebrations. The Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and Tabernacles of Booths. And our goal is not to look at them. What I want to see is in these feasts here, in this chapter, there are three specific things mentioned as a purpose for having these feasts. The reasons they had these celebrations. And really, it ties in because these are the things that we also want to be mindful of as we take the Lord's Supper What were some of the reasons, other than the ones I mentioned specifically for each individual one, for these feasts or celebrations? First of all, it was for rejoicing. They were told on these occasions that they were to rejoice. Look at verse 14 and 15 in the chapter we read. He says, "And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter." It was a family thing. And look at verse 15 at the end. "Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice." They could not help, if they looked back at the meaning of these feasts and what they represented specifically and how God's hand had worked and where God had brought them from as a people, they could not help but rejoice. Should we not rejoice? Should we not think about specifically as we look in a couple minutes at the Lord's Supper and we think about what Christ did? Should it not cause us to rejoice? Christianity ought to make us rejoice. You know, we should never struggle to connect anything God does or has done to rejoicing. A Christian that can't rejoice, it's a really bad sign. It's a sign that maybe there's some discontentment there. If there was a time in your Christian life when you were more excited about God than you are now, you need to check what's going on in your life. Amen. It's a sign that we're just not thankful. We take God's blessings for granted, and we assume that what He has given us is not enough and we deserve more. We deserve nothing except for hell. And God's been very gracious to us. If we cannot rejoice, it's a sign that we are just flat out ignorant of what God is doing, or that we're selfish. There are so many reasons we can think about where we can rejoice for what God has done, but I'm not going to look at that. If you look at Psalm 100, the children sing it all the time, and we come into His presence with singing and thanksgiving and praise and thankful. We're supposed to bless His name. By the way, that's what singing is. That's why we sing the type of songs we do. We're not going to sing these little ditties that have no meaning and they're just ignorant. They're more about your snowflake Christianity and your emotions. Chuck your emotions and let's just think about what God did. You want emotions, go give yourself a hug. Okay, but when I sing, I want to think about God and what He has done for me. I want a song that has meaning and a depth to it. It involves having the right kind of attitude. Thanksgiving really is an attitude where we look to give thanksgiving to God. We praise Him for how good He is and what He has done for us. And when we bless His name, we're just uplifting Him. That He is tremendous, He is awesome, and He is wonderful and far beyond anything we will ever, ever experience what we deserve. Are you rejoicing today? Can we think back at what God has done? And maybe it's not a specific holiday, although Thanksgiving is here and these others, but can you think back to days? The day you got saved. The day something God's done in your life. Fact of the matter is, God does things in our life each and every day, and we just don't think about it. If you can go home and open your refrigerator tonight and there's food in it, be thankful. There are places where people don't even have refrigerators. If you have a place to sleep tonight, be thankful. If you're alive tonight, be thankful. If you're here and you're not alive tonight, I don't know why you're here. And I wish you weren't. Secondly, not just rejoicing, and this goes with rejoicing, God wanted them to remember. Verse 12, He says, "And thou shalt remember." Now specifically here, He's telling them, they should remember that thou was a bondsman in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. Remember. That's another key word. There's things we ought to remember in life. We ought to remember what God did. We ought to remember where we were. If you had issues in your life at one time, or maybe you got saved a little later, you can think of some times. You probably can think back to tonight, other years, and you weren't in church. Now I remember the first time I went to church on New Year's Eve. I was 18. Here I am in church, and we had watch night services. How do you remember those? Say, "Pastor, why don't we do those anymore?" We don't. I know how it used to work. We'd have this long service planned at 9:30 after we ate. Everybody left, and the people who were here fell asleep. okay? But we had a watch night service, and here I am sitting there until midnight in church service. By the way, another reason we don't want you to get shot on the way home. But and I'm sitting in church till midnight, and I'm thinking, that's not what I was doing last year. And I was so grateful to be in church on that night. Remember what God has done. Let's not forget. By the way, if we don't remember, we're not going to have joy. It's like your wedding anniversary. You say, well, how does not remembering my wedding anniversary, what's that have to do with joy? Forget it 1 year and see what happens. But the events that happen in our life, God wants us to remember. And one of the things God was so afraid of is that when the children of Israel got into the promised land and things started to go well, and they got away from being slaves, and they had their own land, and they had their life, and they had all that going, and God was blessing them. One of the things he was afraid of is that they would forget him. But he wasn't just afraid about them forgetting him. He was afraid that their children and their children's children and their children's children and all the way down the line, they would forget him. And that's one of the things that these feasts did. It helped them when they would have these to teach the children why they had them and what was going on. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. This was God's fear. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. You say, I don't have much to remember. That's God's. Are you alive? By the way, sometimes we get sick and we get ill, and you know, there's always people that are worse off than us. Do you have a family? Do you have a job? By the way, that means, well, if you don't have one, we can help you. But if you don't have a job, that if you have a job, that means you're healthy enough to work. Some people would love to work, and they just can't. Do you have clothes? Yes, thank you. Do you have a place to live? Do you have food? What about the spiritual resources? Do you have a Bible? Do you have prayer? Do you have fellow believers? Do you have a church? Think about where God has brought you from. Some of us were at a place of hopelessness. Some of us were at a place of addiction. Some of us were just wandering in life with no purpose. Some of us were experiencing the pain of sin, and God brought you out all that. Don't forget that. Don't forget, you know what happens in a church, and we fight it, it doesn't happen much here. You get somebody that comes in, and they get all cleaned up, and they've been serving God, and it's been, you know, it's 10 years down the road, and they get a little pharisaical. Wow. Well, hey, we're in a new building. What about those bus kids? They're going to mark the wall. Well, I'm just going to tell you, they're going to mark the wall. Now, I'm going to tell them not to, okay? But I'm not going to get on them. Well, people are scuffing things. I hate scuffs, but I'd rather have scuffs. And you look around at your nose, I remember what you were like. I've been to some of your houses before you were serving God. Okay, so let's not go there. We don't go there because we get it. But we can forget, can we not? Because God's done something in our life, and we get proud, and we forget what God has done. And by the way, it wasn't you. Now, it was you in a sense that you allowed God to do that, but it was God that did it. Let's remember how good he is. And then the last part of it, we'll take the Lord's Supper in a couple minutes, fellas. Redemption. Verse 2, and thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord. Now, the Passover was specifically about the sacrifice of the lamb. But redemption. Let's never forget that we're saved. That's just baseline right there. By the way, if you're not thankful for your salvation, you won't be thankful for anything else. If you can't be thankful that God gave you eternal and spiritual life, you lost it. You don't understand how bad it is. And if you've never been thankful for your salvation, I would doubt very seriously if you really have it. Because to get salvation, you got to understand how bad you off you were. And that you were on your way to hell and sin was horrible and you had no eternal future and God reached down and he saved you because you accepted him. How can you not be happy about that? How can we forget that? It's not a small, trivial thing. It is the thing. It's the biggest thing that happens in our church. We do a lot of things, but can I just tell you, the greatest thing we can do is help somebody trust Christ as Savior, to lead them to the gospel. That, and by the way, if we ever get past that, we're done here. We're a social club, and we're not going to be a social club. If we're going to be a social club, then we didn't need to build a new building. We don't need any of that stuff. Let's save our money and let's just spend it on ourselves. It's about getting the gospel out to our, look, time is of the essence. Things aren't getting better, people, it's getting worse. And we have the greatest thing we can share with people, redemption. But if we don't rejoice in it, no wonder we don't share it with anybody else. If we're not remembering how good it was, and I know, well, you know, you get saved, it's not about feelings. You can get up and it could just be like a business transaction. I totally understood it. I know what Jesus Christ did for me, and I know I'm saved. But you know, when I got home that Sunday morning after I got saved, I felt good. I lived under the burden of sin. I knew I was unsaved. And I went home, and it wasn't about the feeling because I knew I was saved. The second I asked Christ to save me outside the wall there on the sidewalk at Gethsemane Baptist Church. But when I got home, I felt good. I don't ever want to forget that I'm saved. So these are the things that he does, and he had the feast and the celebrations for. But that's why we also have the Lord's Supper. We don't do all these different, we have our own holidays, I get it. We understand all these. But we need to remember the greatest thing that ever happened. The greatest event in history was not the birth of Christ. Was the death of Christ. The birth of Christ was necessary for the death of Christ. The greatest event after that is when you understood what the death of Christ was for, when you accepted it. And that's what the Lord's Supper is. And I can't think of a better way for us to get ready for the next year than to take the Lord's Supper and be ready for that. Gentlemen, why don't you come? Brother Grandy, why don't you come up? We're going to prepare now. We're going to take the Lord's Supper in a second. The men are going to get ready. They come by, they'll pass it out. Brother Grandy will come and we'll sing together here. Why don't we, do we stand? I'm sorry, Brother Grandy, let's stand. Let's stand together. Brother Grandy will give us the songs. We'll sing that as the gentlemen pass out the elements.
Page 343 in our psalm books, at the cross, 343. Let's sing it together on that first verse.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? He devote that sacred head for such a
said, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered also I delivered unto you that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Again, it's remembrance. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament in blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We do this so we can remember specifically what Jesus Christ did for us. He came to this earth, God incarnate, God with us, and allowed himself to be mistreated would be too nice a word.
Yeah.
And allowed creation to abuse the Creator. He gave his body. He allowed himself. All that happened to him. Let's thank the Lord for what he did. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. The quietness there. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. It's not hard. It's Christmas time. He came to this earth. But think about the life that he lived. What he willingly subjected himself to. The hardness, the difficulties, the ridicule, all of it. Allowed himself to be arrested, to be beaten, crowned with all of it. And he did that for you. The quietness of your heart, why don't you thank him? Read verse 24 for us again. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Lord, we thank you for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God with us. We're thankful for his humility in becoming clothed in humanity, for making himself a servant and humbling himself and allowing himself to be abused by his creation and giving his body for us. For this, Lord, we shall be ever and eternally grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ushers, why don't you come down now with the juice, Brother Grandy?
246 in our psalm books as we prepare to take the juice. 246, there is a fountain. Let's sing it together. On the first,
there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, dying thief rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away.
If you've received the juice, if you can bow your head and close your eyes. Of course, the end game was not just that Jesus would come in flesh and be mistreated, beaten. It was to die on the cross and more specifically, to shed his blood as the sacrifices which pictured what Christ would do. There was blood shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Our sins could not have been forgiven unless Jesus not only died on the cross, but shed his blood for us. As we think of what he did for us and dying for us and all of that, let's not just be thankful, let's look at our lives as well. Because it's really hard to be thankful as a Christian for what Christ did if we're not actively seeking to live for him. If we're not trying to honor him with our lives. Is there anything in your life that is dishonoring to God? Have you allowed some sin of some type to creep in and it's bringing that relationship you have, it's severing it? The time to get that right is now. His blood not only forgives us eternally, but it forgives us on a daily basis. The quietness of your heart, take a few seconds here. Thank God for his blood. Maybe correct some things if that needs to take place. Verse 25 says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take the juice together. And let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world. We're so glad that he shed his blood and died in our place. The one who knew no sin willingly took our sin upon him in all of its ugliness and its horrible penalty. Lord, help us this next year to live lives to honor and please you, to draw closer to you, to remember you and rejoice in all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.